Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His wings, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for this tremendous psalm, one that shows us the great ability of our God to protect us. We thank You for it. And we ask, O God, as we preach this morning, Spirit of God, You might anoint, You might teach us. We might be open to Your leadership. Allow You to bring about whatever change You wish to in our lives. For, Lord, we know that we need much changing. God bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The year was 1970, let me rephrase that. I had met at work a man who was saved, did not go to the same church I did. And in the process of time, he asked me if I would come with him and preach at a rest home that he went to every week. I had been doing that through my tenure at Bible College, and we were never able to get into this rest home. And so I had the privilege to go that day and to preach there. And afterwards, he said, I want you to come with me. We'll visit a few folks who could not come to the service. We took an elevator, went up to the third floor, got off, and walked immediately into a room. We walked into the room, and before we got there, he told me, the woman you're about to see has never seen anything in her life. She's blind. And he said, I'm going to ask her what scripture she would like to read. And he said, I know what she'll say. It'll be Psalm 91. And sure enough, that was what she requested. And that's what he read. While he read the words that we just read, I watched the expression on her face. Here a woman who had never seen a thing in her life, repeating the words as he spoke them. And with such assurance that God would take care of her. For all of her life, she'd known the protection of God, even though she could never see. And now laying in a bed, with hardly a person to come see her, he had become her great refuge. I never forget the words she said to me. She said, you get to see lots of things and behold the beauties and the wonders of God. But you don't have the privilege I have. For the first thing that I will ever see will be the face of Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow. And from that day to this, this psalm has meant so much. And as we look at it, we find that God is our protector. We have in our world today terrorists. We find because of man being sinful, we become a terror to others. Because of our sin nature, we find that we are a people who are selfish and self-centered, and we want our own way. And when two individuals want their own way, they can become combatants in a very great hurry. Ask any parent that has two children, and you know that there's quarreling and there's fights sometimes. Sometimes they're verbal, and sometimes they get very physical. And thus we see the thing with groups of people, and we find it with nations. But thanks be to God. He not only has provided for us in Himself sanctuary for protection, but God has also made provision for people within different territories. And God has made provision that we might have protection from government. I use the word government because really God's intention was very simple in the beginning. God's intention was for government, if you please, to govern over those who would protect us. Thus, in the United States of America, we have a commander-in-chief, and is to use our military men to protect us from that which seeks to do us harm. We're well aware that in our nation we have much that would like to do us harm. I read just this morning that an NBA basketball player decided he was going to practice his Muslim faith a little farther than he had before and would not even come out of the locker room until after the Star Spangled Banner had played, because he does not appreciate our nation. We have this over and over throughout this world of ours, and we need protection. We go back to the book of Genesis, and we find in chapter number 9 and verse number 5, it says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Immediately after the flood, God said, this is what we must have. Because of the sinful nature of man, there needs to be, and I'm just using the word government here, there needs to be this kind of authority within the land that is going to protect its citizens from those who are going to do them harm. And thus, in our great land today, we have our military, we have all of our police forces, and they are there for the purpose of protection. When we read of the great armies of Israel that were used of God to both punish the evil governments of nations that were plaguing their peoples, or to protect its own people, God had placed them there. We read of men like Joshua, a military man, of David, a military man, of Gideon, a military man. We read in the Chronicles and Kings the great list of David's mighty men. And we also have the orders of God to be submissive to those that bear the sword for our protection. If you would please, the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Very basically, God's saying, There are those that I have ordained to be placed as the protectors of their peoples. And so today, as we line these men up in our auditorium, we had the privilege to say thank you for that which you have done for us. They have been and are protectors for us. It's a duty that is not taken lightly begot by God, because, believe it or not, God calls you a minister of God. You have a purpose within His very plan. We also can find some very spiritual things for us. We have our Christian walk described as a battle. We are in a real battle today. We are the combatants. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." As some who stood in front of you mentioned, they have fought in the wars. They have been in those places of tremendous and horrible conflict. And they had to endure some hardness. They had to go through some things that you and I might maintain our freedoms. But do we understand today that all of us, if we're born again, child of God, we are soldiers of the cross? Oh, we've sang the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers," and we kind of like to march along with it, but we sometimes don't realize, hey, we are in a great battle today. It's a battle for the minds of individuals. It's a battle for their souls. And if you and I are going to be good combatants in this battle, if we are going to be those who protect in the lives of others, then we must be good soldiers. As I look in the Word of God, I find in order to do that, there must be some qualities in every soldier's life. Some of these might seem obvious, but others might seem to you at first like, that's a quality that a soldier has. For instance, the first I would mention this morning is the quality of love. If we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must love. The Bible says in John 13:15, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." As I heard Terry mention, he'd been 27 years in the armed forces, spent a tour of duty over in Vietnam, I'm sure, and I've not talked to him about this, that he had buddies that were shot and killed. There are those that he went over with but did not come back with them. Why did they do it? Why did they do it? Why does a guy like Nick Jedlicka go off to a foreign country and fight and find himself wounded and near death himself? It's not out of hatred, it's out of love. Love for the peoples of this nation of ours. A love that is so strong that is willing to lay down the life for those round about. Every soldier, every one of these that has come and volunteered or even drafted, they came into this with the idea to defend their country. And though they may not have marched into war, they entered into that particular segment realizing it could happen. It could take place. And willing to lay it down for you and for me. Even so, in this spiritual conflict, one's life must be spent upon the cause of Jesus Christ. It's not our own. It is for others. And you and I, if we're going to be effective in this battle, we need to lay our life down. We need to be willing to die to self that Jesus Christ might live through us, and through it other people might be protected from the onslaughts of the devil. We're in a horrible battle today. It's at us at all directions. It's working from the outside and it's working from the inside. And brethren, there's something that will take us onward all the time, and that's when we have love for others about us. When we care about their soul, when we care about their well-being, there must be this quality of love. These who are protectors, these who like the Lord Jesus Christ, who like God, because of His great love, sent His Son to what? Die for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's out of great love. But may I also say to you, I believe that a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ by all means, but yes, also soldiers that march in our military at this very moment, have to have a faith. We would like to hope that they have faith in Jesus Christ. But they must develop a kind of faith. Boot camp is for the very process of bringing a guy to trust his commander no matter what. To follow his orders. To believe he's going to take him in the right direction. I read in the Word of God a story about a centurion. The centurion had one that was sick in his household. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, or he said to the Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Here's a Gentile soldier that Jesus had contacted with, and he says, I've not found so great a faith. It's interesting that about 40 years ago, in a small church north of us, there was a man that pastored the church. His name was Silcox. Brother Silcox is still alive today. He started a new church here about 2 years ago. And as he was pastoring this church, they were able to win a couple fellows from the military to the Lord. And in the process of 2 or 3 years, that whole thing just blossomed. And as a result, there were nearly 30, 35 men who had gotten saved out of that one military base because somebody had faith and some others began to believe because they saw it in their life. And almost every one of them God called into the ministry. And they're dotting churches all across this land of ours. Because there's something about a soldier that has to learn to depend. Oh, they make them into what we sometimes call fighting machines, but they also know they must depend upon each other. There's a certain faith that is born. And it's interesting that these kind of men can be won for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that you and I, if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, we must not only believe in Jesus Christ, but we need to believe in each other. There must be that kind of faith. By the way, men of faith have fear. But they aren't cowards. There may be some things that scares them, but they face them nonetheless. Why? Because they have a faith. Not just a faith, but a faith in Jesus Christ. And you and I, thank God that we can believe in Him. I find another quality of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not only can he be one who loves and one who has faith, but he is one who is willing to sacrifice. Allow me to reread this in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When a young man enters into the military service, and he heads off for boot camp. Basically, everything he owns is stripped from him. And now he has military issue. And it's all up to them to take care of him. He has sacrificed everything. And sometimes a big head of hair, too. And isn't this something the Lord Jesus Christ expects you and I to give up selfish desires that the things of God might go forward. God expects us to be a people who are willing to give up the comforts of this world that we might, what? Reach out to a lost and dying world. There are many uncomfortable places in the ministry. There are many times it looks like it would be easier just to bail out. But a real soldier is one who's going to sacrifice all of that and stand there and stand with his commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, may I say to you, our great commander has never asked us to do anything he hasn't already done. And he will supply us with whatever it is that we need to accomplish the job. And he will take care of us through the entire operation. That is our God. He is a protector, but he's also left us here to be protectors in his stead. We are in a battle today against a Satan, against a Lucifer. We are in battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a horrible battle in front of us. And yet it's worth it all. Amen. To stand for the cause of Christ. And may I say to you, there are awards that are waiting for you. I saw Nick as he stood up here. By the way, these things here, I only got two rows and they're not very big. And he's got those things clear up here. I don't even remember. I remember the medal that's around his neck. I forget what that's for, Nick. Infantry Award. And there's all kinds of things on his uniform. All of them are symbolic of something that he has done. They are rewards to him. You take certain individuals within the armed forces, they walk up and 20 feet from Nick, they can look at him and they can see everything he's done because it's pinned to his chest. And many others in this room, you've had the same thing. And may I say to you this morning, God has His rewards or awards for us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. God has an award ceremony awaiting for us. We call it the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stop and think about it for a moment. There are more than two, but there's two great judgments that are yet to come. The one I speak of will be the first of these two. And it is called the judgment seat of Christ. As we come before the judgment seat of Christ, and by the way, it is made up of Christians. The lost world will not be in this particular judgment. This will be Christians who are in this judgment. And as we go and stand before the Lord, what He is looking at is not our sin. That's already been paid for. Amen. That was already judged upon the cross of Calvary in the person of Jesus Christ. All of that's been wiped clean. But what we stand before the judgment seat of Christ is to find out, what awards are you going to get for your service to Him throughout those years? I've had the privilege as a chaplain at the MEP Center to be in on a couple of award ceremonies. I'll tell you what, the military knows how to do it. I got to see a fellow retire out of the Navy. I don't remember his rank, but he had 20 years in the Navy. And he was taking his retirement. And though we were not on board ship, they did it as though he was on board ship. And it was tremendous to see. And the awards that are given throughout their careers. But there's coming that time for the child of God. Oh, we have some earthly rewards, don't we? We have some things that God does for us when we're in His service. But one day as we stand before Him, we read in the Word of God, and I may deal with it tonight, of five crowns. And those crowns represent things that we do. There's one called the crown of righteousness. There's another, some martyr's crown. Those who have died for the cause of Jesus have that crown. Then I find something really interesting about these. For we find that after this particular event, there are 24 elders that have crowns. And in Jesus' presence, we find they take those crowns from their heads. And I believe they're representative of all of us. And they take those and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. And oh, what a privilege that will be if we have some rewards and we say, Jesus, what I've done for you is because you did it for me and through me. And you deserve it. You see, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every knee shall kneel, and every head will bow as they come before God. Some wave their fist in the face of God today, and some slander, and some make horrible accusations and ridicule. But one day, their knee will bow, and they will stand before an almighty God. And that particular judgment is not the judgment seat of Christ. We find it in the book of Revelation. We call it the Great White Throne Judgment. As the judgment seat of Christ is just for Christians, the Great White Throne Judgment is for the lost world. Those who have not received Christ their Savior. And every one of them will be brought before God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that hell will be brought forth. I mean, all the inhabitants of hell will be brought forth. There will be a time when they are away from the suffering long enough for God to bring judgment upon them. And it's interesting, the Word of God, what takes place then. After all their works are shown, after it's shown that they were not in the book of life because they never cried out to Christ, it tells us the angel will take them over to the precipice and throw them into the lake of fire. I think from that this thing of hell is not as bad as that thing of the lake of fire. And there they will be tormented for all eternity. That is what we deserve today. To stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the things we've done for God, what a privilege that is to even be in that judgment. But how we've served Him, it will come about, and the awards will be given. And every soldier of Jesus Christ, God will decorate them. But I think most of all, we can take those same decorations and place them at the foot of Jesus. We live very close to the judgment seat of Christ. We live in a time that I believe Jesus is coming again. We are very close. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Put it this way. If you died right now, where would you go? Where would you go? And how do you know that? How do you know that? Let me explain to you this morning. This is not, well, it's bragging on my Lord. It's not bragging on me. I know I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. By the way, we think of heaven, but it ought to be the presence of God gets us excited. Not picking apples from the apple tree and the oranges and all the stuff that's up and down the walkway and fishing in the river of life and all those kinds of things. It's being with Him. We have that great privilege to come. I know that's going to take place. And how do I know it? Because my Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ came to this world to die upon the cross for me. as many of our soldier boys have laid down their lives way back in the beginnings of this nation, that we might have the freedoms we have, that we might be able to write a constitution, abide by its laws throughout all these last 200 and some years. And as men and women throughout the years have gone to battles over and over because there are those forces that were trying to stop us. And I live today because of their death. I have life because they were willing to die. And likewise, as Jesus was willing to die for me upon the cross of Calvary, I have life. Again, let me refer you to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do I know it? Because God gave me a life insurance policy called the Bible. And I know, as much as I'm standing here with what little faith I had, I'm glad. Listen, if you can move a mountain by the faith of mustard seed, it's not the amount, it's the matter that we have some. And we place it in Jesus Christ as our Savior. God saves our hell-deserving soul. Wow. Carrie, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Carrie worked as deputy sheriff for how many years, you say? 31 years. Because of an accident, he had to retire early, not able to do it any longer. A lot of circumstances, and I'm not going to go into those, but God brought them here, and through some process of time and some things happened in his life, Carrie accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Gave me a tremendous testimony one day at the back of the church as we were talking. And though a sinner that deserves hell, now a saint that has given to him heaven, life eternal with God. God changed that in a moment. Amen. Exciting. There's no marrying or giving marriage in heaven. I just wanted you to know that because I just. You can take that and use it however you want to. Okay. I tease those two. All right. God does things. Amen? Wow. This lady right here, her husband served in the Navy for how many years? 4 years. After getting out of the Navy, they lived out in Chadron, Nebraska. He told me, he says, driving to work, he said, I saw on the side of something, I don't know what it was, just a scripture verse. Somebody handwritten it there. Graffiti, if you please. But God used that in his life along with her testimony and some others. And Michael got saved. You know where he is right now? He's in glory. He told me, if God hadn't saved me at that time, he said, my plan was to become, are you ready for this? An outlaw. I think Mike could have made a good hitman. He was an intimidator around here. But God saved his hell-deserving soul. Wow. Amen. We'll pick on you. This is fun, I tell you what. She fell in love with Nate. I don't know why, but she did. Huh? She wasn't saved. Nate was saved. I don't know if he ever told her, but he came to the spot where he realized, hey, I'm not going to be able to marry her. Did you ever tell her that? So you weren't coerced into this thing. But she came and started coming to church. And God reached down and grabbed her heart and saved her soul. Amen? Yeah. So you didn't have to tell her that. God's in the saving business. Amen? God does that. I don't want to quit today, but wow. I'm just so excited that our God protects us. God called us to do something. God taught us to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. We got some battles to do. There's some people. Listen, the devil's not too happy about her getting saved. The devil's not too happy about him getting saved. God's not very happy about any of you getting the devil is not happy about any of you getting saved. And he's going to fight you every step of the way. He's going to try to embarrass you. He's going to try to stop you. Whatever it is to keep your mouth shut. But endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, today work in our hearts. Oh God, how we thank you for your protection in our lives. Thank you, oh God, that we have this from above. And Lord, we also want to thank you for those who protect us from harm. And thank you, oh God, that because of that we have freedoms in this nation like no other. To not only take the gospel to people here, but all around the world. You have allowed us to be the standard bearer for Christ, a light to a world. Because of that protection. Oh God, I pray that you might help us to take our rank with you seriously. Lord, that we might take very serious the fact that we are in a battle and we need to listen to the commander. And Lord, far too many times, because we don't, we have friendly fire and we shoot ourselves. Oh God, work in our hearts today. Maybe there's one here today that needs Christ their Savior. And they'll throw away all the restraints and all the pride and just walk down the aisle and let us take the Word of God and show them how they can get saved. Perhaps there's some here today that not taken seriously this fact that they are in a battle. And they need these qualities of love and the strength that can come from within because of it. The willingness to sacrifice. Oh God, I pray that you would deal with our hearts. And perhaps there's a need here for us just to bend our knee today and ask you to forgive us. Or to work in us in some way. God, have your way in this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.